Hey, so tonight I've got a few people that I've asked that's going to come up on stage here, and I'm going to just sort of interview them and talk to them. And it's all about how they got to know God and their journey. And the thing in my heart I kept getting is they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And all this year, most times when I've got up to preach, I've talked about three things. Can you remember the three things? I've talked about meeting needs. I think as a church, we need to meet needs. And, you know, we're doing these Christmas boxes and these gifts for kids, not just for, oh, that's just a nice thing to do. These are life-changing for people. More so than probably any time in my life, the sense of people that are struggling financially and needing help is bigger than ever. And, you know, Sharon's Hoff rings all the people that come and collect boxes. So all these organizations, we do 1,000 boxes, and all these organizations come in and collect the boxes. She says every one of them have said, we've got way more need. We're going to need more boxes this year. So they make a difference in people's lives. And then the gifts for kids that are in the care of Oranga Tamariki, you know, usually, and I think he said, we usually do over 200. This year, there are 400 kids that are basically not at home. And if we don't get them a gift, they don't get a gift. So it's not like it's just, oh, that's a nice thing to do. It's actually going to make a big difference to kids. She says she's got more babies in care than normal. And I'm not too sure what you get them for a gift. That's probably a good one to get. Babies, you can just get them a rattle. But that's going to make a difference to that kid, but up to 16 years. So look, you know, I'd love everyone, like Nathaniel said, to get involved, because it makes a difference in people's lives. I've said about meeting needs, and then I've talked about telling your story. And so tonight I'm going to sort of talk to five people and just ask them about their story, and so they can just tell us the story. But you've got to talk about your story. Your story is powerful. And then you've got to listen to people's story. There's something about hearing somebody's story, whether that's their salvation story or just their life story. It changes the way you relate with someone when you hear their story. In fact, a lot of times we have more grace for someone when we know what they've been through. Yeah. You know, a lot of times we're quite, I was going to say judgmental, but I can be judgmental. You might not be. I don't think you are. You're nice. But sometimes we can be judgmental because we, and then when we sit down and we hear someone's story, we go, wow, you're doing remarkable because of what you've been through and how you've coped with it. And then I've just said, invite people. When's the last time you invited someone to church, invited someone around for coffee? We've got to be people that invite. Invite people, invite people, invite me. So the five people that are going to come up, and there's no particular order, and we're all going to sit on the bench here. I've made it, well, Victor's made it, so that they can't fall asleep and fall off the back or anything like that. And hopefully this works, you know. And so I've got Drew. So Drew, come on up here. We've got Rory. Come on, Rory. Yay, yay. Oh, we've got Wade. Where's Wade? Wade and Joe and Megan. So come on up here. Come and grab a seat somewhere. Sit wherever you like. I'll sit down at some stage. I might just sit down on the end here. Wade at a men's thing the other day just said to me, oh, and I need to share my testimony and I need my story. And that was fatal because I just went, oh, wait, would you like to do it tonight? Anyway, and oh, I don't know about that, but here he is. Well done. So lies. What do you mean lies? So you guys just sit back and relax. In fact, why don't I just pray so that everyone can relax? Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us even just as we've sung tonight. You love us. And Lord, I pray for each of us here tonight that we would have a fresh revelation of your love. Lord, I thank you for each person here and their journey to coming to know you, Father. And Lord, as we talk, I pray it would encourage our spirits. But Lord, I pray that each of us would be encouraged in what we're to do, and would even see the importance of sharing about you, of meeting people, of loving people, being a witness, Father. And so help us and touch each one of these guys tonight. Just anoint them as we talk, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things I think that happens when it comes to people's salvation journey is that every journey is totally individual. Then there's no one story that's the same. But there are some similarities of things that happen along the way that make a difference for why people come to know God. And I think as we listen to these stories, and I don't even know all the stories, so that's going to be quite exciting. But as you listen, you realize that you know, you can play a big part or a small part in people's lives. I won't say who, but there's a guy here today that he got invited to church 10 years ago, came once, and now he's back here today, 10 years later. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. And you know, sometimes we just don't realize that, hey, we're making a difference in people's lives just by inviting them. Okay, so Wade, you're sitting right next to me here. Just very quickly, just tell us how long you've been a Christian, okay? And we'll just very quickly go down the line. I'll make sure it's on.
Dest.
Okay, just tell us how long you've been a Christian, and we'll just whip down the line, and then I'll ask you guys another question. We'll go back there. We'll go like this. That could be quite fun. Okay.
About 10, 15 years.
10, 15 years? Yep. Joe?
I've been a Christian since lockdown. So,
okay.
Yeah, yep. A couple of years, 2 years, two yep. and a half years.
Cool.
14 years on the 7th of September this year.
Wow.
I think I've only been about a year, maybe.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, similar. I've just been about 3 years just before lockdown. Yeah, not long before.
Okay. Okay, so just tell us a little about before you were a Christian. Just tell us who you were, maybe a little bit about your background, your upbringing, in a short time, because we've got five people, and every time someone goes for 2 minutes, that's 10 minutes. That's pretty quick, eh? You know, so just very quickly, a synopsis of your life, Drew.
Oh, wow. Okay. 2 minutes. Thank you very much. Born in country Victoria, Australia. Sorry. That's the way it is. I know. And a bunch of a heathen family. Didn't believe in much except for shooting animals and eating them. So we didn't burn them anywhere or anything like that. But I ended up having a child fairly late. I decided I didn't want to have kids because I saw my brother get married early and thought that wasn't for me. Brought a child into the world, and after a few years, the wife didn't want to be a part of that situation anymore. So I helped bring her up by myself until she's 18 this year. So,
wow.
So had a week about, and now I've been able to make the different choices. So yeah, here I am now.
Cool. Glory.
I grew up in a really good, like, stable. Well, I grew up in a good home. My parents split when I was real little. But other than that, it was a real good home. Got into like your normal teenage stuff, like partying, and wasn't very fulfilling. So then I came to youth.
Cool.
Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I came from a very dysfunctional family where it was horses, and that was my dad's idol. And so everything had to revolve around being a good horse rider. It was performance-based and never felt unconditional love. Wow. Until I met the Lord. So it was, if I did well, he showed me love, until the next week was another horse riding event, and I had to be on a constant cycle. And that led to then in the world of, I was a good sinner. I found that easy. And
oh, we're all good sinners, aren't we?
And
that's not hard to do.
Brokenness of, from my dad passing a comment of, you might not fit your jumpers, led to 25 years of an eating disorder. Oh. I was very good at hiding anorexia, bulimia. I'd swing between both. I could spot it in my friends, so I'd help set them free, but I could never get set free.
Wow.
And then relationships, looking for love in the arms of a boyfriend, which could never fulfill. And just never feeling good enough, which then led to, I'm a miracle to be here, of attempted suicide several times, and by the grace of God, he saved me. And when I look back, when I asked him to save me, I thought it was a failure. But no, it was him saving me later. When I look back, I'd have been going to hell.
Wow.
So, and I wouldn't have my beautiful children that I've got now, Brittany and Grace.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
Hence Grace Hadassah, because we all need the person that is Grace, Jesus, and Hadassah for such time as this. It's not more laws, or, you know, in the world there were so many rules and rules, but with Jesus, he just took that all away, and I'll never look back.
Very good. Cool. That's awesome. Yeah, good.
Kia ora, everyone. Look, I grew up in quite a large family, family of 16. I'm the youngest of the family. I lost my parents when I was quite young. I lost my dad when I was 14 and mum when I was 16. So I headed out into the world on my own and, you know, just worked and did all the bad stuff and all that, the partying. And I was brought up in a family, and I thank my mum and dad for it now, especially my dad. He was a very devoted Catholic. We were brought up in the Catholic faith, and he just prayed every day for his family. And I guess, he actually raised 21 children, 10 siblings from the first wife and 16, obviously, from my family. But, he always had faith in God that he would bring the family through. And although he was a very hard man, he was, he instilled in us a lot of faith and gave us a lot of love, even though he was a hard man. And but I guess he had to be with that many children. So, quickly, I suppose, how I came to the Lord was in lockdown. I had an experience which I couldn't explain. I could remember it was April the 10th, 3:30 in the morning. And it was an unfeeling, an unbelievable feeling for me. It was like I just come out of relationship, and when you do that sort of thing, you come out of relationship, you end up hitting the booze, which I did. And normally I would fall asleep quite quickly, but I just couldn't get to sleep. I just couldn't get to sleep. And about 3:30 in the morning, I've got a very firm bed. And if you can imagine lying on a bed, and I just said, Lord, I give you my heart. At that instant, my whole body just tingled.
Wow.
And it was just like it was a scary sort of a tingling. My whole body just tingled. And if you can imagine lying on a blown up airbed and someone just pulling the plug, and I just sunk into my bed and fell asleep. And I'm an early riser, I get up early in the morning, and I wake up, I think, about 7 o'clock, and I felt I had 9 hours sleep. So, I just want to say, anyway, sorry, I don't mean to but my story is that God is real.
Great.
He is real, and... You know, as Jeremiah says, seek me and you will find me.
Yes.
And, seek me with all your heart and you will find me. And I always believed in myself that God was there, but I just sort of just wanted to put him aside for a little while. Well, I just did my own thing. But, he's brought me through everything I am now, and I'm just so proud and so glad to be a part of this family now, C3 Church family, which I have been for a couple of years now. And, I just praise God for everything he's done for me.
It's
and,
awesome.
I just very pray good. Every day for it. Yeah, thanks.
Well done. That's great.
So my dad was a farmer most of his career. Talk about 40 years. So I had a very, an awesome childhood. Lived on the farm, very sheltered life. But my start wasn't the greatest. I developed benign bone tumor at an early age of about 2, I think. So I was in in and out of hospitals from, sometimes major head surgery twice in a year at the age of 2. And this continued pretty much throughout my life until the doctors actually said to me, when you stop growing, we hope that the tumor would stop or slow down. So all of this trauma, if you would, made me start questioning at a younger age. I started developing self-doubt, low self-esteem, which eventually led to what I'm sure was PTSD at a later age in my 20s. Because for me to, the only way I thought I could be accepted in the circles was to be quite humorous, which was aided by the amber nectar that was readily available at all the pubs. So needless to say, I just spiraled into what I thought at the time was no return. But there were people praying. I don't know who they are. They were both praying for Laura, my wife, and for me. That we could meet, because if we didn't meet, I'd probably be chasing carnivals right the way through Europe and not sitting here being saved. So that was, my folks were awesome people, but just they just weren't, the only thing they didn't have was Jesus. The fundamentals were there. You know, they did their best. But, you know, we only saved by the grace of God.
So tell me just to get our head in, I suppose, before you knew God, what was your thoughts about God? What did you, were you aware of God, unaware of God?
I think it was at sort of the age of six. I went to church, to Sunday school, because it was the done thing. And you go to Sunday school and you pop out at the dairy afterwards on the way home and you get a packet of chips and a cool drink and some lollies, which was the incentive. But I had this overwhelming feeling and this daydream. Often I would wake up in the morning remembering my dream of standing in front of a crowd preaching.
Wow.
And then I had that, it was a reoccurring dream. But then it slowly sort of faded away. And then majority of my life was without God. But I knew that there was a savior. I knew all about Jesus. I knew all the Bible stories. But there was no one to guide that relationship, which was so needed. Yeah.
Very good. Joe, what was your awareness of God, or did you have an awareness?
Yeah, I think I always had awareness of God. And as I said, you know, Dad instilled that in us. But I think when you're out in the world, you sort of tend to put him aside. And to be honest, you know, that's basically, I knew he was there. We always went to church every Sunday. You know, we always did the Easter Mass and Christmas Mass, and because Dad made sure we were there. But then there was always the good stuff happening, you know, like in life. And we didn't know any different, you know. It was just that's the way it was. And but yeah, obviously for me now everything has changed. I haven't touched alcohol for 2 years.
Awesome.
You know, man. It's been awesome. And my whole demeanor of life has changed. I see things in a different way. The bank account obviously is a lot better than what it used to be. But yeah, no, it's awesome. It's brilliant. It's good.
Great.
I thought there was a God out there, but that he'd never loved me, or that I wasn't good enough, because I knew I'd messed up. Wow. And I thought, wow, I would have been born perfect and I could have been, you know, going to heaven one day when I'd see other Christians and think that what the lies I'd been told, that, yeah, that they've got it all together, but you never will. Yeah.
Mm. So. I'm so sorry. Can you repeat the question?
What was your awareness of God before you? Did you have an awareness of God? Did you think there was a God? What was your?
I feel like I was unaware. Like, I definitely was not for it. Like, just wanted to live my life and party and, you know, because that's what seemed fulfilling at the time. And that's also what, like, growing up, I'm very close to my mum, and she influenced my life a lot. And so that was, like, she encouraged me to party, and, like, she encouraged me to do all the stuff that most parents probably wouldn't encourage. But, otherwise didn't really believe in God.
Yeah. And Drew?
I don't recall it, but my mother brought out a picture I drew when I was about 5 years old. It was a stick figure, and there was this looked like a washing line and someone putting the washing up. And Mum asked me who it was, and I said, "Oh, that's Mrs. God." And
Mrs. God did
Mrs.
the washing.
Mrs. God is doing the washing. Oh, good. And so I had some idea, but obviously not a lot. So I was sort of, I always believed in there was something, and I've always strived to find it. It came down to, and when I met my now wife, is we had a lot of discussions about theology and what we believed and what we didn't, and that sort of brought me much closer to following the faith. So cool. If it wasn't through her, I'd still be searching, I think.
Cool. So tell us again, and this is just good for us to remember. What did you think of Christians? And what was your experience with Christians before you became a Christian? And you can be honest here, because I think we need the honesty.
I'm in a blessed place now for being closer to not realizing what you guys are all doing, what we're all doing. It seems like they're a bunch of God botherers, really. and that was a common term we'd use. But now it's a matter of what I thought and what I see now is they're just good people and just living life and with love. And that's something which, if only half the rest of the world could possibly think along those lines, we'd be in a better place. So, yeah, and that's good. What it comes down to. Just, that I've had a servitude heart my whole life, and I'm just actually putting it to better practice than I had done in the past. Yeah. So,
that's great. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. So I grew up thinking it was a cult. That's what kind of I was taught.
A cult.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cult. Yeah. And so yeah, I thought that was kind of not scared of Christians, but definitely didn't want to partake in everything they did. So I guess I wasn't a huge fan. Not people, but in like the culture of it.
Cool.
Well, I didn't know a lot of Christians, but when I was pregnant with Brittany as a travel agent, a lady came in and I was booking her travel, and she was a Christian, and I just sensed the peace on her, and I just wanted it. And little did I know they were later praying for me and Brittany.
Wow.
So, and being a teacher, the husband ended up being a teacher to Brittany.
Wow.
So, that was the peace, and, I've never forgotten those moments.
Yeah. Mm. Very cool.
I've got two or three sisters who have been Christians for quite a few years now, and 30 to 40 years, and I wasn't Christian at the time, but I think I felt a sense of respect for that, and so there wasn't any bantering or anything from the ones who weren't Christian, but I didn't want them to thing it on me, banter me with it. I just wanted to be left alone and sort of do my own thing. But I didn't think I'd be standing up on stage worshiping and singing. For me, I put God first. I just love worshiping him and praising him now, but I wouldn't think I'd be doing that. And as far as Christians were concerned, look, I had my beliefs, they had their beliefs at the time, but I'm all for them now.
That's good.
Let's do that.
Okay, good.
South Africa, when I was growing up, was a most of the public schools were Christian-based, so you'd say your prayers in the morning or before, can't say smoko, first break. it was a common thing, that Christianity got flung left, right, and centre, but it was towards the latter part of my growing up. They were always trying to get me out of the pubs, so they sort of looked at them as a little irritating and, always...
Party poopers,
but never had good yarns with them and had a good couple of mates that were Christians, but never ever sort of looked at them in any other way besides that's your choice, this is mine, let me do me kind of thing.
Yeah. So how did you become a Christian? What was the process? What happened? That
well, I think you know, you sit and you assess where one's come from, so where I came from and where I had to go, the darkest, deepest places that I had to go first for a purpose that I don't know yet what I need to fulfill, but I know that it was all part of it's all part of God's plan. So I really did go to a really, really dark place. And then I can remember my beautiful wife saying to me, listen, we need to have a chat. We need to start making decisions on where we're going to take this thing, because it's just not working. And I remember my soul just dropping out of me, because in terms of stability in the home, it wasn't me. It was, you know, it was Laura. And I can't explain that feeling. And I said, we need to book an appointment with the minister now. Right now. Let's get into the car and let's go and sort this out. And we're sat, the two of us. And this is now the last straw. And he made me promise to myself, promise to God, and promise to Laura that the next step that we take would be to forget the past, to forgive myself, and to look at the blessings that are in front of us.
Wow.
And that was that day. Never forget it.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Well done, Laura. Yes. Joe, you've talked a little bit, but what happened then? So you got up that next morning?
Yeah, so I got up that next morning and I knew something had happened. That I couldn't explain. So I got out of bed and I was I was excited, I guess, but I was walking around the house. I remember walking around the house like a zombie, like, oh man, what do I do now? You know, like, so so the first person I phoned, and my older sister, she, just prior to what happened, my older sister doesn't normally ring me a lot, but for some reason, you know, leading up to what happened, maybe God was speaking to her, but
wow.
She was ringing me quite often, you know, just sort of encouraging me and just, you know, and I was, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, okay, yeah, thanks for ringing, sis, sort of thing. And, but then when that happened, it was like the first person I phoned was her, and I said, I just said to her, look, something happened this morning, and I told her what happened, and I just broke down in tears. I was sitting on my dining table just crying. Anyway, where's Jean's tissues? I'm so getting emotional here, but I just burst into tears and I just sat at the table and I just told her, and all she could say was, oh. And I said, look, I just had an encounter and you can't say, oh. So it's just like, it's like she sort of expected it to happen. I don't know. It's just... I was just like sitting there, and anyway, we spoke for about maybe an hour, over an hour, and she said, look, there's some good online services that you can look on, view online, and she gave me Tuck Barnes Church Online Service. So I, from there on in, I just kept, you know, listening to Tuck. From there on in, and then she said to me, is there a church nearby where you can go? And of course I remember this place being renovated at the time, so I just said, yeah, I do know of a place. and I just made my way here on my own, didn't know anyone, and you bumped into I think it was Sarah was the first person that greeted me at the door, and then got to know everyone then.
Wow. Yeah. Very so cool. Was, that's
it
awesome.
It was awesome. Right. Yeah.
I was on Waiheke Island, and my marriage was breaking up because I got tired of forever trying. There's always something wrong with me, never my husband. And so moved back to Gisborne, and that's where I come from. And I said to my mum, I think I'm going to go to church. I just felt so broken. And she goes, oh, I'll be over in a minute. I've got the newspaper. You can have a look at, you know, what church to go to. And I saw these happy faces on the Equippers page. I went, I'm going to go there. So I went there, and at the end of the service, they did the salvation prayer, and my hand goes up like this. And then for about a week, I was like, what did I do? And it must have been the Lord, but bringing it back. So I saw a guy walk past my home, and I wouldn't go to just any guy's house now that I know wisdom. But I went down there and said, hey, I saw you at church the other day. What is it about? I put my hand up and gave my life to Jesus. And he said, he did the good person test. And he said, well, have you ever lied? And instantly, like, scrolls of lies to Auckland and back of yes. And he goes, okay, have you ever dislike someone? I'm like, yes. He goes, well, that's murder in God's eyes. I'm like, oh, so we're not all that different. You know, every person's done not like someone. Or, and so went through that, and I went, and I just was down on the floor. He had a house bus. I was on the floor of the bus just crying and crying, going, God loved me. And in those moments, which probably was only about a minute, but it just seemed so long, my life of when he was with me, when I was broken, I was never alone.
Wow.
And all the, and hence when I tried to hang myself, but I, a lunging with horses, a lunging rope, I tied a knot because it wasn't quite short enough. But that knot is where it broke and saved my life. Wow. And I came around going, oh, what? I'm still here. You didn't save me. But later I realised God had saved me.
Wow, wow.
So that was,
yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, so I went to youth camp. I think it might have been last year or the year before possibly. And it was like nighttime, and there was a group of us. It was Charlotte Bateman, Andre Hood, and a few others. And Andre started the conversation of like just talking about God, like just seriously, because we'd been like having fun all day and hadn't really chatted about God seriously. And I think that's where all of us, oh, and there were a few others that don't go to church anymore, but yeah, that's where we all kind of just fully gave our hearts to God. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, but it felt right. And so, yeah, that was like the start of it, but then very hot and cold, like came to church when I wanted to, but wasn't really into it. And then mum got into like a season, I guess, of being very comprehensive about life. And that was probably the hardest thing I've ever been through. And so, yeah, I had like no, nothing. I didn't know what else to do. Yeah, I just felt stuck. So that's when I started like praying to God, like wholeheartedly, and just being like, get us out of it. And yeah, she's here and she's happy and living her life and asking more questions about God. So that's cool.
Cool, very good. That's awesome. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, question, how we met? Okay, I, as I was mentioning, my wife is probably where this all started, where I followed my faith. I was traveling for the first time to the States to possibly ask for my wife's dad's hand, yeah, her hand, you know what I mean, try to ask for the father if I could have a hand in marriage or ask for his permission. And first time to the States was quite unique for me to do this and meet a family. And they're a Christian family. He's grew up in a, how was it? Apostolic, yeah, apostolic background. So that was quite a staunch leap of faith. So, and they have brothers, a pastor, and they build churches in the States. And this bloke from Australia who's got no idea about anything, wants to try and fit into this family and ask the question. So going over there, it's actually, they're a fantastic family, don't get me wrong, it wouldn't have worked otherwise, and met them. So they're going to their church. I went to a couple of services at this church, and don't get me wrong, the churches there were like, I thought I had to pay money to get in, or it felt like I'd, because what we got out of there was a big stage show, and there was lights and action and people all over the place, and it was just, it was, I could have easily give them $50 and said, yeah, that was a great show. That was fantastic. So after a few of these, I got sort of starting to feel a lot more every time we went somewhere. It was like how important it was, and what I felt out of these, not saying it was worth $50, it was worth my life. But to do that. So in one of these, I was told to close your eyes and if you wanted to put your hand up. And so mine went up and that was it. So, but there was nothing said. I wasn't brought down further. And in the car, Hillary goes to me, "You put your hand up, didn't you?" And I said, "You're supposed to have your eyes closed." I know, but I could tell. So from that point on, there was no huge changes except the change slightly inside. I was always trying to search, and it was probably at the start of this year when I actually handed my life over into the Lord's hands to say, "Hey, do with me what you want." And that has really just pushed doors open. I just every single day, I don't understand it. I see things differently. Everything changes. I walked down the street, it was last week, and I was sitting there. Oh, back in the day, if I found a wallet full of money, I tell you what, there's no one to get anything like that back. You know, that was that's just how it was. A car pulled in front of me, went up his driveway, a wallet fell off the roof and landed at my feet. Neither say I didn't give it back. I picked it up. Went up this long driveway and I go, "Hey, bro, you have no idea that I actually could see this was going to happen. So here's your wallet. Thank you very much." So it's proved every day that, yeah, I'm on the right path.
Yeah, very good. Very good. That's awesome.
Okay, tell us what's been the hardest thing being a Christian? What's been hard for you and what's been easy?
I find everything's easier now. I'm at ease. It's the first time in life you're talking earlier on about people, how they feel. There's lots of struggles, but for one, I'm not worried about what's going to happen next, where I am going to be, where the next meal's coming from, whatever's going to happen. None of that's important anymore. And I see that, I feel that all the time now. The doors are just opening. So I'm very blessed with where I am, and I know it's the perfect place for things. The hardest part is, I think now I was told to do something weird the other night when I was here to pray upon. I had to stick my tongue out and hold on my tongue like this and praying to open my mouth so I can actually speak the word of God more. And that's the practice, I think, which is is going to be the hardest, was going to be the hardest part. Now here I am blabbering on, so this is great. it's been amazing.
I don't feel like it was hard necessarily. Like Mum was and Dad were very accepting at the start. They didn't really care too much. But maybe towards when they started to see, like, I'm actually going to live for God and that's just the way it is, I think Mum had a little bit of pushback because she didn't like seeing it, I guess, because, again, she thinks it's a cult. So she, pushed back a little, but she'll deal with it. She's fine.
Let's go to another question. Tell me, who's made a difference in your life? What the people, were there people along the way that really have helped you in your Christian walk?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the Lord putting the people in my path. Like once I got a taste of Jesus and getting set free. I forgot to mention before, but I had cigarettes. I had addictions to exercise, gym, run, 3-4 things a day. The moment I went, "Oh Lord, no matter what, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus," the cigarettes, within between 2 weeks to a month or two, I was set free from the eating disorders, the suicide. Wow. Hang on, I'm worthy.
Yeah.
I won't be treated like that. Unhealthy relationships, my life kind of ones just stepped away from me because must have been the light, because I was so sold out for the Lord. But then they were never my friends anyway. They were only using me for what I could offer or car ride or whatever it be. And once people stepped back, I just focused on the word because I didn't have many Christian friends, and just what Jesus told me. And yeah, I just wanted more and more.
That's great.
Mm.
That's very good. Cool.
The hardest, I guess for me, the hardest, you will always have roadblocks in your life, I think, as you go. And, sometimes it's just a case of it might be just something little like humbling yourself to something, at work or just, in life in general. But I think with everything that happens in your life, I think it's good to pray into it. You know, and just even if you're out there, and I always pray every day, even when I'm driving, you know, like I'll just say, you know, just Lord, just humble me, and while I'm driving, humble the other drivers as well. Just, you know, like
they need it. They really need it. Some of them.
I'm just so you know, just anything in general, because I know that He's listening. He's there. He'll hear your prayer.
Yes.
So I just do that, and I think that's what's made it easier with the issues or problems that you have, and just you know, just wait on Him to answer. Mm. He may not answer straight away, but. You know, I can honestly believe that He does answer your prayers, and right. And that's what's made it easy for me. Also, just you know, just meeting people in the church, and just you know, like Kelly and Victor and all those, just having a chat with them, they give me encouragement. You know,
right.
The people that I meet in the church, and even just for the first time, you know, some of them I hadn't even met for a while, and they've been in the church for a while. They've been Christians for a while, and they know, you know, they just give me encouragement and,
great.
And help, and I just take that on. If someone, you know, gives you encouragement, take it on board, and
yeah,
you yeah, know, and yeah. So it's been
good. Great.
So I think the hardest part for me was the healing of memories, if I could put it that way, because you've got this past, and there's a slow process in healing.
Mm.
And it's a continuous thing, and with together with that, making the decision to be faithful and committed, with changing and being born again, I lost absolutely every single one of my friends.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, it wasn't even a hard pull, really, that hard to swallow at the time. It was, you know, what kind of friends were they to start off with? But then you start seeing the glow around you, you know, the relationship that Laura and I have. My brother-in-law, Laura's brother, was a beacon of strength for me, very faithful guy. He's the guy who held me accountable through the whole process. You know, he's saying, you know what, we've got tasks to fulfill if we've chosen this path. And together, the two of us operated our families very similarly.
Great.
You know, so there was the hope and the, you know, the pain. So.
Okay, last, and this is the last one just to give. So what advice would you give to someone here that maybe hasn't made a decision? And then also, what's the advice to Christians that have got friends in there that haven't yet made a decision? What would you have anything you'd want to say to them?
I think don't ever forget that God's never going to let you go. He's always going to hold on. And it's such a refreshing thing to know is that, you know, the old adage, he'll go, he'll leave the 99 and go and fetch you. It doesn't matter where you are, He will go and fetch you.
That's very good.
And you've just got to believe. You've just got to look beyond your circumstance and go. I've got to take a step. If it's in the right direction, He's got you.
Great.
And then
great.
I've forgotten what you asked.
That's all right. We'll pass it on.
Yeah, I guess my advice to someone who hasn't yet, you know, given us or her life to the Lord is just, you know, just be encouraged by other people. And, you know, like the old life, for me anyway, the old life is gone. I'm looking forward. And if there's anyone that's going to help you in this life, you know, you just got to trust in God to do that. You know, I know it's for some people it's hard when you don't see it. But I think, you know, with how our world is, I mean, you know, what have we got? Nothing if we haven't got God in our life. So I think, you know, and for those Christians who have got friends who haven't come, I would just, you know, just keep sort of nagging, not nagging them, but just sort of keep encouraging them, and just you know, if you're talking to them, obviously if you are good friends with them, eventually I think they will you know, just look at you and say, well, you know, man, their life is going really well, you know. Like, that's the sort of thing that will encourage them to come along to church. So, yeah.
Cool. That's good. Very good.
I'd say knowing that our God is the great I am whatever you need me to be. I am your hope. I'm your joy. I'm your friends. Like, I had cleaned my life out, but the friends that I have now, several are sitting here, I could never have picked them myself. It all could be so transparent and be myself with the ones that are in my life now. And
right.
Yeah, God just is that Ephesians 3:20 over and above, exceeds anything that we could ever think. So yeah, my life is really rich now, and prior it was empty.
Wow, yeah. Very cool.
I think to people who aren't in church or youth, I would, it might be a bit harsh, but I'd probably just say, like, what have you got to lose? Like, you've tried all that you've tried, and yeah, I'm sure if you self-reflected, you'd feel that's probably not the most fulfilling. And, I mean, if you haven't tried this, you've got nothing to lose. You're only going to gain.
Yeah.
And people in church, something that's been on my heart a lot lately is, like, the importance of community. And that's whether, like, you're all out or you're not. Like, yeah, your story can really affect others positively, and also, if you're not, like, all in, it can be really encouraging seeing other people, and they can encourage you.
Cool. Very good. Drew, you get the last word.
Oh, no, my wife will speak later.
While you're here, you get the last word. Here we go.
I turned my phone off so she couldn't hear. and I've recognised the challenges that are faced by those that aren't amongst us. They tar every one of us with the same brush as religion. It's all the negative ass things which occur and which you hear about, the cults, all that. We're all wrapped up in that same bundle. And it's the breaking down of those barriers for those that aren't with us, or those if they are, we're not all that like that. We don't all just, I was mentioning killing animals earlier. I reluctantly wish I didn't say that now.
It's fine.
We don't. Yeah, it's not like that. So it's a matter of there's a feeling when you look around the room. I mean, I'm reluctant. I wish I'd known everyone's names, but there's someone who's inspired me from the moment I set foot in this place. She stands right here and sings.
Catherine.
If anybody can see anything else, but the joy that is in that is everything that I want.
Girl.
And that's, I think, if somebody's here and you've seen that, this is the right place to be.
Yeah, very good. Hey, give them a big hand. Thank you. Ooh. Great job. Great job. And I'm sure if you want to, they would love to talk. If you've got some questions you'd like to ask them or to talk with about them. That's fantastic. Well done. So that's our message tonight. And my challenge for you is to keep praying. If there was one thing that came out really strongly, was someone prayed for Wade.
Yeah.
Someone prayed. And you know, there's sometimes you're not going to know that until you get to heaven.
Yeah.
Just as the music has come, if you don't know God, can I really encourage you to make that decision? I often say, I remember talking to a person that was a lady. She was about to have a kid, and she actually didn't want to have the kid at the time. She thought, I don't want to have a kid. I don't want to have a kid, and was actually very negative about having a kid. And I remember trying to say to her, no, it's one of the most amazing things, holding a baby in your hand. Like as much as I try and explain it to you, until you experience that, you've got no idea. And then anybody you talk to that can remember that day that they held a baby in their hands, you're just blown away about this amazing kid that you love straight away, that you're just blown away. I feel it's the same when it comes to God. We can know all about God, but until you have that connection where suddenly you give him your life and he comes in and he changes you, until you've experienced it and you can hear people talk about how it's changed their lives and go, that was phenomenal. But until you do it yourself, and you know what Rory said is right, have a go.